Hello, and welcome to Speaking of College of Charleston. I'm Ron Menchaca from the Office of Marketing and Communications, and on today's episode, I speak with College of Charleston President Andrew Hsu about the college's upward trajectory as we aspire to become a national university. So without further ado, let's get started. Welcome, President Hsu.
Thank you, Ron. Good to see you here.
So it was almost exactly a year ago that we had you on as a guest on our podcast. So here we are again, almost a year later. We're making a bit of an annual tradition here.
That's right. And we're in a better studio now.
That's right. We're here in Bell Studios. So I'm just going to jump right in, President Hsu. This May marks your fourth anniversary as president of the college. Does it feel like it's been 4 years? And are you pleased with what you and your administration have accomplished thus far?
Well, in certain ways, it feels like forever because of COVID. It really changed one's perception of time. But on the other hand, it just seems like only yesterday that I just started here. So, but certainly, I'm very proud of what the college have achieved during the last 4 years. I'm very proud of the progress we're making on our strategic plan, and we have assembled an all-star team of higher education leaders during this past 4 years, and now have seen the College of Charleston making significant gains in many areas: student success, faculty success, diversity, and so forth. So it's very gratifying to see the positive momentum of this great institution.
So as we're recording this interview, final exams for spring have just wrapped up, and spring commencement is a little more than a week away. Can you share a few highlights from this academic year?
I can share quite a few highlights. There are so many positive things happening on this great campus. First of all, there's a record number of applications for the College of Charleston. We have seen such an increased demand for a College of Charleston degree. In fact, our application numbers went from about 12,000 applications 4 years ago to nearly 27,000 applications for this fall's class. In fact, I'm proud to report that as of today, we have a record number of new students committed to this fall coming to the College of Charleston.
That's great news, President Hsu. So also some big news, big highlights on the athletics front. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Ron. What a great year for our athletics for the academic year of 2022 to 2023. You know, our men's basketball program had such a huge season. They ended the season with a record of 31-4 and put us to the top of the NCAA Division I teams as one of the winningest teams in the entire country. And our women's golf team won a back-to-back CAA championship. And we also had one of the top pole vaulters in the country with an individual CAA title, Lucy Leager.
So, yeah, President Hsu, speaking of the basketball team, so you actually got to go down to Orlando and watch, and you want to talk a little bit about who we lost to and where that team ultimately went?
Sure. Of course, I want to first talk about my experience in Washington, D.C. when we won the CAA conference. I mean, what an experience at the CAA conference finals. Our team were celebrating on court. I got a trophy myself together with all the team members, and we all got to go up and cut a piece of the net off. So that was quite an experience. And then, of course, we went to Orlando for the NCAA tournaments, and we had such a tight game, close game, even though it's the first round, but little did we know, we lost to San Diego State, who eventually went to the NCAA finals. So quite a performance from the College of Charleston basketball team.
That's great.
You know, some other highlights of our achievements for this academic year. Great work from our Committee on Commemoration and Landscapes. They worked very hard to refresh and rededicate the Septima Clark Auditorium in our education center. We commissioned a beautiful mural from a South Carolina artist of Septima Clark, which adorns the outside wall to that space. We created a museum-style exhibition highlighting Septima Clark's life inside the auditorium. It's one of the first of many projects to tell a more complete story of our campus and our city. And another event that is worth noting is that we had our first food security summit. We have many well-known international speakers. It's a conversation that was both global and local. We had the former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture here. We had the President and CEO of the World Food Program, USA, and we also had the President of our Low Country Food Bank.
So a lot of exciting things happening around the college. So the roadmap for much of the college's success and future goals is, of course, the 10-year strategic plan, tradition, and transformation. Can you give our audience an update on the plan's implementation?
Sure. Just to remind everyone, our 10-year strategic plan that was approved 3 years ago has three pillars. The first one is student success, second one is academic distinction, and of course the third one is employee experience and employee success. And then we also have three cross-cutting themes. First one is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Second one is innovation, and the third one is partnership and engagement. So let me start with student success and student experience. We invested in our student success in all areas. One of the most interesting area for our minority student success is that we established a barbershop known as Cougar Cuts. It opened this fall and it serves our African-American students on campus. We have many efforts around retention, advising, and we're seeing gains in these areas. We're prioritizing mental health and belonging and improving advising and communications to students. And we're also trying to establish meta majors to help improve our student retention.
Great. And what about pillar two, academic distinction?
Sure. Pillar two, academic distinction, we have several priorities. Some of them involves our vision of becoming a national university, which would require us to start offering doctoral programs. And we finally have a new state policy that granted our university the status of a doctoral granting university. Our first doctoral program was approved in December, which is a mathematics and computing degree. We're going to start admitting students this coming fall. We have several new academic programs that are at various stages of our approval process. We had three new programs just approved by the Board of Trustees and is now going through the next steps of state approval. The first one is EDD, or Doctor of Education program, in our School of Education. The second one is an Executive MBA program from the School of Business. And the last one is in our new School of Health. We have a new BS degree in Health Services Administration and Management. Our engineering program is growing well. We rebranded the School of Sciences and Mathematics to now the new School of Sciences, Mathematics, and Engineering. We have created a new department, the Department of Engineering, and our first systems engineering graduates will cross the system this spring. In fact, in just about a week. What a great moment for our great university.
Exciting. And then the last pillar, employee experience and success.
Sure. So we're making great progress in helping our faculty and staff be more successful. And one area that I have been focusing on and our strategic planning implementation had been focusing on is to continue to improve our faculty and staff compensation. I'm very proud to say that we have been able to make salary increases 3 years in a row. This has certainly been the most consistent effort regarding compensation campus-wide that we have been able to do in the last three decades.
No, that's great news. We want to keep our excellent employees here, and so compensation is certainly one way to do that. And finally, the three cross-cutting themes that cut across all of the pillars. Do you want to touch on those?
These cross-cutting themes are very important elements of our strategic plan. In fact, the first cross-cutting theme is one of the most important themes of our strategic plan, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. We continue to invest in the 1967 Legacy Program, which is a scholarship program that attracts some of the best students from our local minority groups to the College of Charleston. So we also established a new professorship, the Lucille S. Whipper Distinguished Professorship. We have our inaugural Whipper Distinguished Professorship appointed Professor Anthony Green, the director of our African American Studies program. That professorship is established to support our minority professors and make sure that they are promoted, but also develop our leadership pipeline among our minority faculty members. I'm going to lump our second theme and third theme, which is innovation and engagement, together, because those two are closely aligned. We continue to be one of the most innovative universities in the South, and we continue to deepen our industry partnerships. So we have developed research projects our faculty and students are working on together with our industry partners. For example, we have projects with Bosch and Siemens. And these research projects are real-world industry problems that our students are trying to solve, and they're actually funded by both industry and the South Carolina Fraunhofer Institute in Columbia. We have a great program, sustainability program, partnering with Siemens to make our campus carbon neutral, which is making great progress. Charleston region is now becoming a high-tech center, and we're continue our partnerships with our high-tech industry. We hosted Dig South, a high-tech conference here on our campus. We're also working with industry partners on continuing education to meet industry workforce demands.
So much going on. We probably could do an entire episode about the strategic plan alone. So what we will do is we'll include links. We've written a lot about all of these achievements on our news site, The College Today. So we'll be sure to include notes and links to all these stories in the show notes for this episode. So we're winding down here, President Hsu. Just a couple more questions. You mentioned leadership earlier. There are a number of new faces on your senior leadership team, which includes your cabinet, of course, and as well as the deans of the schools. Can you highlight some of the new people and also talk about the importance of a good leadership team?
Sure. You know, I'll answer your last question first, because, you know, what really moves a university to a new level of excellence is the leadership team, and without a strong leadership team, we would not be able to effect the changes that we're trying to make. So it's extremely important to have a strong leadership team, and I'm very proud to say that if I were in the professional basketball program, then I would say I now have an all-star dream team on this campus. For example, we have several new deans under the leadership of Provost Suzanne Austin. We recruited a new School of Business Dean, Paul Schwager, who started less than a year ago. We also have our new interim dean for the brand new School of Health Sciences, Wes Dudgeon, who started also last fall. We just recruited a new language, culture, and world affairs dean, Dr. Amy Arias, who will start in July. And in fact, we just finished the interviewing process for our new dean of School of the Arts, and that's just completed yesterday, and we're still in the process of making decisions there. And same thing happens in the cabinet level, and we have a new general counsel, Chuck Baker, who joined us back in February. We have a new chief advancement officer, Dan Frezza, who came to us from William & Mary just last month. We reformed our marketing and communications function under your leadership, Ron. So you're one of my new stars on the team. We also have a new enrollment and management vice president, Jimmy Foster, who came back from a 3-year sabbatical at Franklin Marshall and who just joined us on May 1st.
That's great. It is a dream team, and that's a credit to you. I mean, we're all excited to be working for you under your leadership. So these are good times. So just a couple more questions, President Hsu. One, how can people keep in touch with you and keep up with you on social media?
So, I only have two social media accounts, so it's easy. The handle is COFC. HSU, basically that's the acronym of College of Charleston, the CFC, and my last name is HSU. If you link those together, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. And or else, if you're old-fashioned like me, you can send me an email, and my email address is president@cofc.edu, or variably, you could also send it to me at president@charleston.edu.
You might need to explain that last one there about charleston.edu, President Hsu.
Well, that is the brand new IP address we have acquired, and that's the new direction we're moving to. In the future, our website are going to be at charleston.edu instead of cfc.edu, so that people from even overseas would recognize our website right away.
That's good news. And that really ties in directly to what you were talking about earlier in terms of the strategic plan and becoming a national university.
Right, right.
That's great. Okay, last question here. We talked about a number of highlights. What's one moment from this past academic year that stands out and why?
Well, I have to say that it was one very embarrassing moment I had at a basketball team basketball game, and as you know, our basketball team is doing so well that our TD Arena is always filled. All 5,200 seats were occupied, but I was foolish enough to one day in a in-game contest, I was running a foot race, also known as ladder sprint, or in tennis, it's known as a suicide run, against a student picking up groceries on the court along the way. So I thought there were only three sprints, and I thought I won and I finished, and then people were yelling at me saying there's one more round or one more lap. So I started running again, And of course, you know, I have a very young mind and an older body, and my mind was there, but my feet were not there. So I fell right on court, right there in front of 5,200 fans. So, you know, that was an embarrassing moment, but it's a life lesson. We all stumble and fall, but we can do we always can pick up, and we can also embrace the moment, the cheers and jeers. It doesn't matter, you know, just get right back up and start running again. So I did finish the race, so that was the bright side of that whole story. By the way, I'm glad that the student won.
And we should say, President Xu, you were not injured in your fall.
I was not.
that we're happy about. This has been really fun, President Xu. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you, Ron, for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Speaking of College of Charleston with today's guest, President Andrew Xu. For more episodes and to read stories about our guests, visit the College of Charleston's official news site, The College Today, at today.cfc.edu. You can also find episodes on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave a review. This episode was produced by Amy Stockwell from the Office of Marketing and Communications, with recording and sound engineering by Jesse Kunz from the Division of Information Technology. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.